From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. This past summer, I fell in love with some music that was full of joy and biting wit. This is Lily Allen, and if you don't know the music of Lily Allen, you should. It's a hoot, and it's really good. Lily Allen's CD, All Right Now, is finally out here in America. And in fact, so is she. Lily Allen joins us from our bureau in New York City to play DJ today on All Songs Considered. What did your brother think when he heard this, Lily?
What did he think? He wasn't too happy about it, to be honest, at first. He thought it was just me attacking him and all his weak points. But actually, you know, I was just kind of highlighting those things and trying to encourage him to get out of bed and do more with his life.
Does he listen to his sister?
Yeah, he does. He's older now, you know, and yeah. So am I. But, yeah.
When you grew up, was there a lot of music around wherever you lived? Was music part of your life as a kid?
Yeah, definitely. You know, my mum was a punk rocker. And
was she really?
Yeah.
You mean as a fan or as a player?
As a fan, I think she used to sing in a couple of punk bands.
Nice.
And she was kind of part of the sort of London punk scene in the late 70s and stuff. So
a good time for that.
Exactly. We never really had a radio in our house. We had record decks and 7-inches. So that's kind of that was our reference point as children.
What's a good memory for you as a kid? A good record that you remember around the house?
I don't know. I mean, lots of Clash records. T-Rex. My mum was a big T-Rex fan. Cosmic Dancer. That was a big song. In our household.
And a good one for kids too. I mean, I don't know how old you were. Were you 7 or 9? Are these memories from being pretty young?
Probably even younger. Probably like 4 or 5. Yeah, there was always music around. And also, you know, I lived in Notting Hill, which is, you know, an area where there's a huge West Indian community, and they have the big Notting Hill Carnival every year as well. And you know, it's kind of flooded with reggae and ska record shops and stuff. So. You know, it was a great neighborhood to grow up in, and definitely learnt a lot about music.
So pick me something, childhood memory-wise, something that would have been playing around the house.
This song, Up the Junction by Squeeze, which is probably one of my favorite songs of all time. It definitely, you know, reminds me of my mum. It's kind of all about a guy getting a girl knocked up in London, and that was definitely my mum's story. Coming to London, meeting the wrong guy, and getting pregnant.
Oh gosh! So let's give a go on. I'm sorry.
And having me.
Well, let's give a listen to Squeeze. This song is called Up the Junction. So that's Up the Junction by Squeeze from a record called Cool for Cats that came out in the late 70s, if I remember right. And play me something else. Play me another tune.
Right, well, this next song that I've chosen is called Golden Scans, and it's by a band called The Klaxons.
I don't know them at all.
They're just getting big in the UK, actually. In fact, this week, their album went into the charts at number one. So.
And Klaxons is with a... spell it for me.
K-L-A-X-O-N-S.
Uh-huh. And what are their influences? What do you know about them?
They are influenced by the probably mid-90s... sort of rave era, I guess, mm-hmm. kind of British dance music, but they kind of incorporate it with their, you know, the kind of modern indie rock music scene that's going on at the moment. And I think it's a really, really interesting kind of mishmash of references.
Hmm. And is that what you love about them?
Yeah, and also they're really lovely guys. I know them from London.
So. Uh-huh. Tell me the rave period. You would have been a teenager and stuff. Was that part of your life at all?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was to a certain extent. It was more a part of my older sister's life. I kind of watched it from afar, and I kind of became more interested in it probably at the end of the 90s. But, yeah, it was definitely a part of my life.
That's Golden Scans, a group called The Klaxons. They have a CD yet? Or downloadable music? What's up with that?
The CD is definitely out in the UK. I'm not sure about America. Uh-huh. It's going to be out on Modular Records here, I think, later on in the year.
I want to play something for you of yours, and then I want to talk to you just a bit. Let's play a bit of the top of Cut 2, Knock 'Em Out. I want to ask you about this beginning. Piano in the beginning sounds, and I think it just is, Professor Longhair, who is a New Orleans piano player. Could that be?
Yes, it was originally a sample of his, but we had to, you know, replay it for publishing reasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you know Professor Longhair before you heard this riff?
Actually, no, I didn't. It was played to me by 2D, who is one of the guys that works within Future Cut, who helped produce my album, and... We were kind of listening to loads of old 7-inches that I'd taken in and kind of feeling slightly uninspired that day, and then he put on that song and we were all like, wow, got to use it.
Tell me, the Future Cut is a duo. They're two musicians that you work with and help make, I don't know, what percentage of the current record?
Probably like 60% of the record.
Okay. And
sorry.
Yeah, sorry. A yawn is better than a burp. Let me go backwards a second. So tell me the name of the two folks because one of them sounds like a West African name, I'm not sure.
Yes, and a Nigerian. His name's his name is Ayola Babalola, but actually he calls himself Tundi or Tudi. And the other one is called Darren Lewis, who is from London, London boy.
And how'd you find these folks?
Oh, they're two of my best friends now. In fact, they're here with me in New York. They've come to kind of support me while I'm doing Saturday Night Live, and they're amazing people.
Yeah, one thing I don't understand is it sounds like a lot of the stuff that you do is in a studio. So what do you bring to the table when you come out to a live show? Who's playing? Do you have a band? How does it work?
I have a band full of live, you know, like session musicians. It's taken a while to get it right, but it really works now. You know,
What doesn't work when it wasn't working? What was it about it that doesn't work?
Well, we tried it in lots of different ways. Like, we tried it without a drummer and things coming off of a drum machine and triggers, and we tried it with, you know, samples and, you know, coming off of a laptop, and then we put the drummer in, and we used to have the horns coming off of a laptop, whereas now we have the live horn section.
So great when you can do that.
Yeah, it's very organic sounding, and you know, we've managed to find some really, really good players, and it works really well.
These days, is there another band that's inspiring you?
There are a few bands around that I'm kind of getting excited about at the moment. There's a band called Muse from the UK who I really, really love the way that they write their music, and Kasabian, who I'm huge fans of and made friends with while I was in Australia doing this Big Day Out festival.
You want to play something by them?
Yeah, why not? In fact, they have a really, really great song that's kind of floating around the internet at the moment called Shoot the Runner.
Okay, well, let's give a listen to Kasabian. That's Kasabian. The song's called Shoot the Runner. And they are a British band?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they're from Leicester, which is in England.
Right. And how would you describe what else they do? Because I don't think that's necessarily typical of everything they do, is it?
No, it's not. Well, actually, their first album was really kind of more reminiscent of, you know, bands like the Happy Mondays and the Stone Roses. It was kind of very baggy sounding and Manchester. And I think they've done really, really well with kind of reinventing themselves with this second album, which is called Empire. It's a really, really great album. I advise you all to go out and buy it immediately. They're a great, great band and really lovely guys as well.
And I'm talking here with Lily Allen. Lily, is there stuff that comes from America that catches your ear?
Oh, yeah, always. I think I'm probably the biggest Jay-Z fan of all time. I think he is a genius. Somebody that... If I ever met Jay-Z, I would just faint.
Well,
and I don't get starstruck at all.
you have folks at Capitol Records who... Somebody's got to be able to call him up. Knock on his door.
I wouldn't want to meet him because I just make such a fool out of myself.
But everybody, you know how that works, though, right? I mean, there are people who just want to meet you and afraid to make fools of themselves, but you got to do it, and in the end, it's a good thing.
Boyfriend actually is a huge Jay-Z fan and was once sitting in front of him at a film premiere, and as Jay-Z got up to leave the cinema after the film, he knocked my boyfriend on the head by accident. And he kind of went to Seb, my boyfriend, "Oh, I'm sorry, man." And Seb was like, no, thank you. So if that's what Seb's reaction was, I'd hate to see what mine would be in that kind of a situation.
So let's play something by Jay-Z. What would you like
this,
to hear?
Yeah, this Dirt Off Your Shoulder is probably one of my favorite songs of his.
Okay, and that's off the Black Album.
Let's listen to that.
Okay.
Now tuned into the greatest. Turn the music up in the headphones. Tim, you can go and brush your shoulders off, and I got you. If you're feeling like a pimp, then go and brush your shoulders off. Ladies is pimps too, go and brush your shoulders off. Lucas is crazy, baby, don't forget that boy told you, kid. Turn up your shoulders. I'm probably over to y'all, probably be locked by the force, trying to hustle some things. posh. Feeling no remorse. Feeling like my hand was forced. Middle finger to the Lord. Gripping my balls. Said the ladies they love me. From the bleachers they screaming. All the ballers is bouncing. They like the way I be leaning. All the rappers be hating. Off the track that I'm making. But all the hustlers they love it. Just to see one of us make it. Came from the bottom of the bottom to the top of the pops. London, Japan, and I'm straight off the block. Like a running back. Get it, man? I'm straight off the block. I can run it back. Cause I'm straight with the rock. Come on. If you feeling like a pimp, nigga, go on, brush your shoulders off. Ladies is pimps too, go on, brush your shoulders off. This is crazy, baby, don't forget that boy told you, kid. That, turn up your shoulder, you got a kid.
I mean, that drum is just so killer. Do you think that your friends in your band would ever give you something like that?
No, I doubt it. They're not cool enough. Unfortunately, I wish they were.
Well, I mean, there's make a record with him.
Yeah right. Not gonna happen.
Okay. Yeah, right. You took a couple of years to write this record. The way I understand it, you take your lyrics into a studio and music's not written for the words and they all come together. Could you just explain that for everybody, how all that works and how long of a process it took to write the 11 or so songs that are on All Right Still?
It took me about 2.5 years to make the album from start to finish.
And what does 2.5 years mean? I mean, is it 2.5 years of a couple of weekends here and there, or what's 2.5 years?
I think it was probably about a week out of every month over 2 years, 2.5 years. So... yeah, it was quite a kind of lengthy process in some ways and in others not. But yeah, my writing process is quite strange and made it quite hard for me to find the right people to work with.
You mean because you do it off the cuff and people, lots of musicians sort of like to know what we're going to do today?
Well, also, you know, most, you know, producers that are good and, you know, people that, you know, write music, they kind of like have their time booked out and they don't really want to give, you know, a week of their time to somebody that hasn't got anything prepared.
Right. Can you pick me a song on the record and just walk me through a little bit about what would have happened, what you might have heard and what you had in front of you, a pad of paper or whatever it is?
Everything's Just Wonderful.
So they come up with this obvious samba that they've taken from some record, even though... where this came from?
It's actually not sampled at all. It was I wrote this song with a guy called Greg Kirsten, who wrote all the music from scratch. It was completely not taken from anywhere.
I see. So that beginning da 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 is just totally original.
Fine.
Okay. Sorry, Greg. And then what happened? So Greg plays this for you, and you're
Greg
in the studio.
Greg played me this song, yeah, and. I kind of was listening to the backing track and I was just like, wow, this sounds like so dreamy and so happy and the kind of song that you can walk down the street to and just be like, yeah, everything's great and my life's amazing. That's kind of where the chorus came from, is it goes, you know, oh yes, I'm fine, everything's just wonderful, I'm having the time of my life. That's never really good enough for me. So,
so what happened then?
I had to kind of twist it up a little bit the way that I do, which is, you know, it's got to have some kind of contradiction and some, you know, you've got to double take when you listen to my songs, I think, especially the kind of more happy, upbeat ones. It's all about kind of listening to it and going, oh, that sounds really sweet. Huh? Wait a second, did you just say that? And that's, you know, that's what this song is about, is going, you know, yeah, my life's amazing and brilliant and fine. And then when you listen to the lyrics, it's complaining about how awful it can be. So there you go.
Thanks. And how long did it take you to make that right-hand turn? Was that the same day? Was it the that Everything Was Wonderful came out?
If I haven't finished writing the lyrics to a song in 3 hours, then I leave it.
Good for you.
It's a very quick process.
I'm involved in this process. It's write an album in a month, thing that's on the web, and it's really fun. And so a friend and I who haven't written music together in 20-something years, I've decided to write. We're completely different coasts, but we're going to write a whole album this month. And it's terrific. And in fact, when I had a kid, I couldn't write music anymore because I used to take 8 hours and 10 hours just to design a darn sound. And with a kid, you just don't have that time. And I made a rule for myself that, you know, if I'm going to sit in front of music at the end of the night, it's going to be done and I'm not going back again. And
yeah.
And it's a good thing to do.
If it doesn't just come out completely naturally, then, you know, there's no point in kind of beating yourself up over a song. It's meant to be fun. It's meant to be enjoyable. And it's meant to be, you know, an expression of, you know, of how you're feeling. And if you can't kind of sum up how you're feeling in a song, then you're never going to be able to do it. There you go.
That's great. And you made me think of a song that that was on your list by The Clash, and certainly a song that couldn't have taken them a long time to write. It certainly has the urgency that it didn't take them a long time to write. And if it did,
definitely,
they fool me. So let's give a listen to London Calling by The Clash, a song that you're picking here as DJ on our show. So good. I'm sorry if you never got to see him, but I'm sure glad your mom had him around the house.
Hey, she was telling me a few days ago about when she went to go and see The Clash, supported by The Slits.
Oh, wow.
In Milton Keynes. I think it was in 78. She walked into that concert and walked out and completely changed her life. She's like, I'm going to London. I'm never coming back.
That's great. And Paul Simonon is with The Good, The Bad, and The Queen. Have you heard that record yet?
Yeah.
And he's the one smashing his bass guitar on the front cover of that London Calling record.
Mm-hmm.
Take me out on something. One more great song that you've been hearing.
Okay, well, this next band I'm choosing to play one of their songs is a pretty kind of like inspirational Brazilian outfit. They're kind of like art students, but have kind of stuck up their middle finger to the music scene and just done what they wanted. And I don't think they even played musical instruments for very long, but they've blagged it very well. they're called CSS, and this song's called Alala.
And do you know what CSS stands for?
I do, but it's now gone out of my head. See?
Yeah, well, it's cascading style sheets, of course. If you know what the web is, CSS is a term for cascading style sheets. But I'm sure these folks from Brazil, who probably speak Portuguese, had no intention of that. Hang on a second. It's something about sexy. Conceito de ser sexy.
Ser sexy, yeah. They're pretty sexy people. I think most of them are lesbians, actually. They're pretty funny.
And I understand it's Portuguese for tired of being sexy, is what I've read. So let's give a listen to Alala by CSS, and we'll come back and say goodbye to you.
you don't wanna. Cause you won't, but you can have it.
Do you know what they're saying, what the a la la, a la la is all about at all, by any chance?
I think it's just a chorus, isn't
yeah.
it?
It does. It feels, it just feels good.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this. Do you want to go out on a song of yours? Is there something you like to end your shows with when you...
I don't know. I guess maybe Littlest Things, which is my kind of slow one. It's a good one to end on.
Okay. Thanks for doing this.
It's a pleasure.
Bye-bye now. I feel better.
Speak to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking to consider even more songs? Discover new music from emerging and unsigned artists on the Open Mic Podcast, available at npr.org/podcasts.